Accession number 29238, Reel 10.
Mr. Wigham, Reel 10. We're just talking a little bit there about discipline. Was stealing a problem amongst the men?
Not very bad, no. Yeah. I mean, to be perfectly honest with you, none of us had much to pinch, you know. I mean, there weren't many of us who had much kit at all. I mean, I didn't. And my clothing issue from the Japanese, it came from the Thailand Red Cross, and it was a black japhappy or g-string and a bowler hat. No, sorry, trilby hat. And that was the only clothing issue I got in 3.5 years. I had my own khaki short and t-shirt. Oh, sure, not t-shirt, I'm getting a bit modern, aren't I? My khaki short and khaki shirt, and I had a pair of my boots and a pair of socks, and that was it. So, no, I had a pair of pyjamas that I picked up in Australian camp and marched through on the way up to Changi, and a pair of woolly underpants, and I used to sometimes wear them at night after we'd got washed. You know, rather than walk around all evening in the japhappy. I remember one of my officers criticised me severely for it. He thought I looked a bloody mess. And I suppose I did, but there was nobody except the blooming monkeys and things to see me, so it didn't matter. He had a bit more kit than me. That the shirt and khaki shorts you kept for special occasions, going to mates' funerals, and usually on a Sunday evening I wore them, because we had church service of sorts outside, anywhere where the padre could find a pitch, and I used to get dressed up in my khaki shirt and shorts on a Sunday evening, and otherwise you just husbanded your clothing as best you could. And I never went out working on the line in them. It wasn't until later on that I wore them regularly when I was acting as a voluntary nursing orderly, but that was well on into the piece, you know. But from Wan Lun we moved up to a place called Wan Yen, and we were there for a few weeks. Same work, on the railway, you know, the railway trace all the way.
What was that camp like? Did it differ in any way to the other, to Wan Lun?
No, it was pretty much the same. You see, they were both sort of downriver, you know, the beginning of the railway, and so we weren't far from Kanchanaburi, they're down country town where we got our rations from, so things came through pretty well all right at that time. And it was the monsoons had passed, and the camp was dry and dusty, of course, but at least it was dry and one thing or another. And we just carried on the same kind of work, and then we moved up to Takilen. And again, Takilen was just a sort of slightly bigger repeat of the camp. And I think it was at Takilen that our commanding officer, Colonel Dean, was invalided back down country. I can't be certain. I mentioned it in that book. It was, you know, we're all very, very sorry to leave him, but he wasn't a young man by any means. And, you know, he did very, very well to keep up with us. he was determined as far as he could, but in the end the medical officers just ordered him down the country. He had no choices. You've got to get back down to base camp at Chung Kai. And so our D battery battery major, he took over, Major Wiley. So Major Wiley was a strange case. He was a territorial, like the rest in the 74th Field Regiment, and come to us from them. He was a vicar at Houghtonley Spring, and I don't think it pleased the bishop very much. He joined the territorials, not as a padre, but as a combatant officer. And he took over the our group when Colonel Dean went down country. And from Takilen, when we finished the work there,
was it the same sort of work?
Same, just the same monotonous work, building this confounded railway trace, you know, and embankments and things.
What condition were the men in at that point?
Not too bad. I mean, some of them, the work would be to tell a bit, because it could get quite heavy at times. And for my own part, I had enteritis, which I had for about 2.5 years, I think. I'm getting on that way. And my beriberi was beginning, but not too bad. But I was beginning to feel the strain a bit that way. And we got a change of occupation after that, still on the railway, but we moved up from there to a camp called Whampoa South. The Whampoa South was a very clean camp, because it was on the flood area of the river and it was low water. So it was very clean, but it was all pebbles, you know, it was a flood area. So when you lay down at night, you shuffled your hips around and tried to get a dint in the pebbles, move them around a bit till you got more or less comfortable position.
What was that camp like then?
Well, it was, as I said, it was clean. We were in tents there. And, but just the same sort of routine camp wise, except to do a bridge building. A long viaduct bridge, which didn't go over the river, it went round the sheer face of a cliff, which the railway couldn't cope otherwise. So it was carried on this bridge. Actually, there were three sections. There was a short section coming out of the jungle onto the main part of the bridge. And it must have been probably getting on about 300 yards long, getting on that way. And then it went off onto a rock shelf, and then another small section of bridge into the jungle again. Now, when we got there, there'd been a team ahead of us building the concrete plinths to take the tiers for the railway bridge, you know. And they had the big holding down bolts, right, bolted in, you know, already, these concrete plinths. And that was all. The timber was cut on the other side of the river and floated across. This seems a bit daft when I say it was floated across on bamboo rafts. You might think, well, why in the devil didn't they just float it across? But it was all green teak. and it was so green that when one rolled off off the raft one day, it just sank like a bar of iron. It wouldn't float.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to bring it all across on these rafts. And we had to carry these damn things up over the blasted rock from where they blasted out, you know, for the initially. And they were about 12 by 15 or something of the sort. About 12, forgive me coughing, I've had a bit of a throat. And they were about 12 foot long. And there were 12 men carrying those, with rope sling underneath and a bamboo pole under the sling, and you hoisted that up and carried it that way. If there weren't enough men, they used an elephant. So it was one elephant equal 12 prisoners of war.
Yeah.
And the Japs told us, say how it's done, no bridge at all, just the pillars. 14 days all finish. We told them not to be daft. How on earth were we going to build a bridge like that in 14 days? But on the 15th day, the first train ran over it. I was standing underneath it, the blooming thing swayed all over the place. But they had three shifts, day shift, evening shift and night shift. And when it got towards the end, there was the usual Japanese speedo, and it was right at the end. I went out on day shift on the 13th day, it would be. At the end of the day shift, when the evening shift came out, they said, we'd like you to do just a little bit more. So we had to stay out with the evening shift and do just a little bit more before we went back to camp. When the evening shift were due to be relieved by the night shift, we were still out there from the day shift. Everybody do just a little bit more. And we were all there at the end of the night shift. And we worked through until midday again or something was thought. No blooming rest at all, you know. You just have it carry on. There were no union rules or anything like that, as you can imagine. And anyway, we got the bridge finished for them. I don't think there is the word can't in the Japanese language, quite frankly. No good saying to them, you can't do this. If they've decided they're going to do it, they'll do it. Somehow. If it kills everybody, it doesn't matter a damn, you know. But anyway, this bridge got finished. And then, I mean, it did take it out of us, you know, to hold on as that. My legs were beginning to get like jelly with the beriberi.
How did that affect you?
You fill up with water. Lack of vitamin B, you know. And only a decent diet would have cured it, because with no decent diet it was still the rice, and we got a bit more meat at that particular camp, I must admit, that because some pigs came up in baskets, rammed into baskets. We didn't know there were any pigs until we started unloading this barge of vegetables. We got all the vegetables out, and all these poor blooming pigs were underneath all the vegetables in that heat. And you know, they were wild by then. And when we got them out, everybody had to stand clear, and the Jap just cut the lashings on the end of it and left the pig to find its way out. And you didn't dare go near the blooming things. But we got three of them. And there was nothing to feed them on or anything of the sort, so they all had to be slaughtered. And in that heat, the meat wouldn't keep. So they stuffed us full of pork for a day or two. You know, we went through three pigs, but it, the effect on our stomachs after they were, what we'd had, you know, my enteritis didn't improve one little bit, believe me. But anyway, let's say we got that bit more food. But then we were told we were going to do a 10-day march up through the jungle to another camp. Because the railway was getting towards the end then, you know. Not finished, but getting towards the end.
How long had you been working on it by this time? How long had you been working on the railway by this time?
Well, we went up in sometime in 1942. We had our first Christmas at Wan Lun, remember that? It was the Christmas of 42. And we'd been over a year on it by then.
What sort of state were you in by that time?
Well, a lot of the lads were looking very, very sickly. A lot of us had lost weight. I say I wasn't so good with my enteritis and my beriberi. And of course it affected my breathing as well. Sure, that, you know, with any exertion I was puffing and blowing for all I was worth. And up to that time we hadn't had too many deaths. We'd had some, but not too many. That was to come. Because we'd had some of the other camps that our lads were in number four working group, they'd had quite a number of deaths as well.
How were you being tracked by the Japanese at this time?
Well, as long as you worked, you're all right, but if they thought you were slacking or anything, you get a belt across the back with a split bamboo, you know, that's the thing. And you know, one little unpleasant period I had on the bridge, a Japanese joiner picked me as his mate. Well, he couldn't speak any English, I couldn't speak any Japanese. The result was, if he asked me for a hammer, I'd hand him a saw. Well, if he asked for a saw, I'd hand him a chisel, or something like that. So every time I handed him the wrong thing, I had a thump on the shoulder, you know, bruise on the shoulder. Now, I think that's why he kept me, because I was so damn silly that I couldn't give him the right stuff. It was a good excuse for thumping me, you know. And I was doing it for a day or two. I was pleased when I got onto another job. But then we had to start on this 10-day march. You carried all your camp gear and your own, well, not that there's an awful lot, but your own gear, which again was not an awful lot. I had one small haversack, and the camp gear was carried in the 5-gallon petrol drums slung on bamboo cane, you know. Fortunately, I didn't get on a carrying party, but we set off on this 10-day march, and we were calling at different camps overnight, you know, on the way through. Each day we went to a particular camp. And you marched for an hour, and then you had a 10-minute break. Then you marched for another hour and had another 10-minute break, and so on.
What was the terrain like that you were marching through?
It was just rough jungle paths, you know, that I mean, it wasn't as dense jungle as you saw the lands hanging through in Burma, you know, the 14th Army, but there were still just very rough paths, as you might find scrambling around a wood here and that sort of thing, you know. And in many cases, folks didn't have boots or wooden sandals. I think my boots are still holding out, fortunately. I had a pair of wooden sandals that I used at work, but my boots are still holding out just. But it's the lowest I got in my whole 3.5 years. It was the one time when I seriously began to wonder whether I was going to make it. Because, as I say, with the beriberi and that, my legs just giving out, and I was short of breath. I couldn't keep up with the crowd. That I was falling back and falling back and falling back all the way, because the Japs didn't like stragglers, short worker stragglers if necessary. And so by the time we got a halt for the 10-minute break, I was right at the end of the column. But if I'd carried on, I would have lost touch with them altogether. So I couldn't have a break. I just carried on and walked right away up through the column as they were all sitting. I was just about dropping, quite frankly, until I got to the head of the column again. And I just got there when the 10-minute break was over, and off you went again. And this went on until, as I say, I seriously began to wonder. I've never felt so down in my life. I mean, you couldn't take any notice of anything, you were just concentrating on shoving one blooming foot in front of the other. And then we got to one camp after 4 days, and did 4 days of that. And we got to, I can't remember the name of the camp, it was one of the other working group camps. And the morning we were due to go away, they had a sick parade of people who our old medical officers sorted out and lined up. And they picked 12 of us, I think it was, out of the sick parade, and I was one of them, fortunately for me, who were to go on a 1500 weight truck that was going up. We were going to get a lift, which was a godsend way, but there was a very sad side to it anyway. One of our lads, I won't mention any names because somebody would know him probably, one of the nicest lads you could wish to meet. And he was terribly bad with dysentery. He was about as bad as me. And he was passed over. He had to continue walking. Well, of course, his mates who were helping him, he got to that stage where I was most unpopular, you know. I was getting a lift and Jackie wasn't. Well, it wasn't our fault. And he didn't criticise me or blame me, he wasn't that kind of lad. Because we both knew that if I had said no, let him go, they would have probably said you can both damn well walk. That was the nature of the Japs, you know. So all I could do was say, look, any kit that you don't want on the march, Jack, give me and I'll carry it on the wagon for you. So I did that. And we swayed and clattered and bumped the way up until we came to a camp called Takanoon. Takanoon was a sort of small upcountry town in a way. I know, because there was a big sort of hut thing there with bars down the front and women sitting behind. It was the local brothel. But we were away from it a bit. We saw the women went in, you know. And I was there in a tent for a day or two with the doctor and the sergeant major out of the Gordon Highlanders. The three of us shared this tent. And then word started to come down that the food was getting lousy then, bad enough below.
What sort of things were you getting to eat by then?
Dried vegetables, stringy dried veg, and the rice, and no meat really, you know. And rations were short, so the rice ration was cut down. We weren't getting as much rice. And word came down, as rumours always do spread, that the camp where the lads were finishing, the 211 kilometre mark camp, just known as 211 camp, the food was better there. If we ever stopped to think how it possibly could be when it was even farther up the river, I don't know. But at any rate, there was a party going up. No, our lads all came through, the main crowd, and went on to 211. And days after that, there was a party due to go up. It was just 11 kilometres up from us. They were to go up with taking something, I don't know what exactly. So I asked if I could join the party, because you know, I wanted to get back at my own crowd, my own friends and things, and this lure of the better food. And so I arrived at the camp, and our regimental MO, Doc Sutherland, he took one look at me and he blew holes in me. What in the blazes was I doing there? After all the trouble went to getting you on that wagon to get a lift up. I told him, I said, well, you know, tails got down to Dagenham, that the grub is better up here. And I said, you know, all the lads are up here. He said, better, he said. Bloody lousy the grub up here. Still, he said, yes, yeah, so there we are. You have to get on with it. And that's the lowest camp we ever got to. It was a filthy place.
Can you describe it? What was it?
Well, it was much like other camp in the layout, just a clearing in the jungle, you know. And the bamboo and attap sheds for the Japs and that, but none for the prisoners. There were a number of tents, I forget how many tents, but nowhere near enough for the lads in the camp. There were about, after all this time, it was 1,200 or 1,800 in the camp. And there's only about half of them in tents. The rest were outside, just making shelters for themselves the best way they could, with leaves and branches and things, you know. And the monsoon was coming on. And so we carried on this damned railway, which was nearly finished, but so there was a speedo on to get it finished, of course, and get out. The Japs would allow 12 men maximum in camp sick every day. No matter how many more sick men there were, they had to get out and work. But the hospital were just allowed 12 men. The hospital was a tent. And so the monsoon started and the river rose. And the barges with rations couldn't get up with the flow of the river. And rations got down, at one time, all a Jap storeman had left in his store was a box of curry powder. But the cooks had saved a bit of the rice, you know, had cut down our rations even more, our own cooks, just to, as a reserve. And so, what we got then for, to sustain us on this work, was, you know, the half-size enamel pots, you know, you got the, well, we called them pint pots, they weren't pint pots, but the enamel mugs of those days, and there was half-size ones. So at breakfast time, we got one of those of what we call sloppy rice. You know, that was, I've mentioned that before, I believe. Just boiled rice with no salt and no sugar.